Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Medical House Calls, Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care and the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. We are normally joined by Caroline Fenton every Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock. She'll be with us tomorrow on the program at 7, so looking forward to that.
In lieu of Caroline, can I read this text?
Please do.
That is clearly a voice to text, so there's no punctuation.
Okay.
So I'll read it as it. Here we go. Hey, I cannot stand a Stillman show, and I turned it off months ago, but I still see his tweet about the cap is fake, Grand Carathon is a loser, blah, 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 but now Caroline is like his little minion, and she says the same crap every day. I like D-Mace and Willie, but I'm eventually going to have to turn the show off to you. You guys know if I'm the only one who feels this way, or I'm sorry to bring this on you, but I don't know who else to talk to about it. You guys are the only ones I like anymore.
It's an impressive sentence.
Thank you. One sentence, and there's still no period at the end of that. Thank you for turning to us for your help and support. So what, Stillman tweeted about the Caps fake, is that right?
You still follow him. He's still doing Caps
and
stuff.
Grand right Carthon. Grand Carthon? He tweeted that Grand Carthon's a loser? Is that accurate?
I haven't heard the phrase Grand Carthon, but.
But, yeah.
Yes.
But he's still tweeting like, what, Rand's incompetent or whatever he's saying? Do I have to unmute Stillman just to look at his Twitter account for a minute?
Is there anything Stillman can do on his own to encourage you to unmute him, or is this just what it's going to be now?
Well, every once in a while, I do. If someone says, "Did you see this?" or something like that, I'm like, "Okay." So, I'm looking for these, but that is one heck of a run-on sentence. And again, we are here for you.
We are.
Okay, we're here for you.
We are. People who are not here for their head coach right now—that is the Vanderbilt basketball fan base. Tough stuff on Saturday night. They lose 88-53 to Tennessee on the road. So just absolutely demolished by the Vols on Saturday. It was 51-20 at halftime. They're showing the replay on the SEC Network right now, Joe, and we've got it on in studio. The score on the replay with 11 minutes and 55 seconds left in the second half is 70-30. So just an absolute domination by Tennessee on Saturday at home against Vanderbilt. Look, it's not a surprise that Tennessee won by a significant margin at home against Vanderbilt. Tennessee is one of the best teams in the country. Vanderbilt has been very bad all year. Now, that margin of defeat was pretty eye-opening, and yeah, Jerry Stackhouse after the game talking about obviously they're not on the same level as Tennessee and kind of walking out of this press conference after that too. And the noise on him is incredibly loud. Vanderbilt fans have been yelling all weekend about Jerry Stackhouse, and they're tagging Candace Lee in tweets all over the place that I've seen. And it's gotten pretty ugly with that fan base and with the coach. And you know, the crowds at Memorial lately have not been great. When you look at some of the camera shots in some of those games, even though they did have a nice buzzer beater victory the other night as well. So there have been two SEC wins that they've been able to capture this year, but it's ugly right now with this Vanderbilt men's basketball program. So in the aftermath of a game like that, what did you make first off, I guess, of just the total dominance by Tennessee in that game against Vanderbilt? And number two, with the noise growing louder and louder and louder, what do you make of kind of where this fan base is at right now with Stackhouse and the whole thing?
Well, I'd just like to point out that, 70-30, 20, Vanderbilt 23, Tennessee 18 in the final 12 minutes of the game.
That's true.
12-minute stretch of winning basketball against Tennessee after being down 40. Yeah, it's ugly, and I think it's I think the noise is – I think it's fair. I think there's been noise for a lot of his tenure, and I have thought some of it hasn't been fair. But, you know, year five and some bad luck, but it's – like I've said before, I think the big issue, he's been able to go in the portal and get some players, but the big issue is just the consistent just – underwhelming recruiting classes. And that's still what it comes down to. So Tennessee this year is a national title contender, and I don't know that they are if they didn't get Dalton Knecht in the portal. Like, even if they didn't get him, they'd still have a good team, probably a ranked team and like a prominent. But, you know, would they really be a title contender? It'd be hard to totally buy that, but I do buy it now. And some may not. You may not. I do, but it's Connect, and then they got Gainey, and he's a nice piece, and everybody else on that roster is is high school recruits who have developed within the program.
Yeah.
And I'm not comparing. It's not apples to apples. Kentucky or Tennessee and Vanderbilt, and it's a different situation. But you look around the country. The portal's important, no doubt about it. Penny Hardaway at Memphis tried to go pure portal this year with a super old team, which I actually bought into. I had them as my surprise team this year because they had a lot of good players who had done a lot of things. But the problem is, you're bringing a bunch of people from all over the place, and of course, you know, there's like NIL involved, but you know, maybe people, they don't know each other that well. You're smashing all these people together, and apparently it's just horrific chemistry, and they are completely bottoming out. Again, all of it is to say, like, if you don't evaluate and recruit at the high school level better than Stackhouse does, the portal is not going to fix it for you. It's just not. And so that to me is this the reasonable assessment of Jerry Stackhouse is he does not do that well enough. And so I think it's more than fair to give someone 5 years at Vanderbilt. You should make an NCAA tournament in 5 years. And so now, like you said, it's ugly. I mean, the fans are very upset. They're angry. And at this point, I think all of it's fair, you know? And it goes beyond Stackhouse. It is. It's the Bryce Drew era went completely just a massive thud, and people maybe look back at Kevin Stallings and were maybe a little hard on him, you know. I mean, you know, Kevin Stallings, by the way, he took 5 years to get to the NCAA tournament. And so, you know, I think it was good that he got that patience at the time. Vanderbilt basketball has good tradition, history, and all that stuff. But it took until year five. But then, you know, from year five on, he made it, what, seven times, you know, in the next 13 years. And that's about what it should be. I mean, Vanderbilt should make it every other year or so. That's realistically what it should be. And that's what the next coach should be held to. And I think that from a PR perspective, if you don't move on from Jerry Stackhouse at this point, I mean, look, what is it? I mean, fans are screaming at you and angry at you. Well, I mean, that's part of the business at times. But I think the apathy has also gotten – and I think apathy is always scarier for college programs and ADs and chancellors.
Well, the way this is playing out, it's going to force Candace Lee to make a move, right? I mean, it has to. And I know there's, because I saw it over the weekend, there's still Vanderbilt fans that don't believe that he's going to get fired and think that he's going to come back for next year, and have talked about, like, if that happens, then I am totally done with the Vanderbilt men's basketball program. And look, you can't base, we've talked about this before, you cannot base as an athletic director, as a general manager, whatever role you're in sports around here, you can't base every decision you make on how the fans feel, because, you know, Floyd Reese used to talk about this. You start doing that, you're going to end up in stands with them. But I do think there's a point of – there's a level of toxicity that a situation can reach where you're forced to pay attention to that if you're in administration. I think we're there with Jerry Stackhouse and Vanderbilt. And, look, I'm with you. Like, it's year five, and what are they, 7-18 overall, 2-10 in the conference? Like, it's not good enough. And when you get to that point, you've not made an NCAA tournament, and you're having this type of year – I mean, that's what gets coaches fired. And I fully expect at the end of the year they're going to move on from Jerry Stackhouse, and then it'll be about who can they hire, who can they bring in to resurrect a program right now that is not in a good spot. But, you know, like you said, with recruiting and the transfer portal, you can change things pretty quickly. But I think this is as toxic as I can remember a Vanderbilt men's basketball situation being in my lifetime.
Yeah, like Bryce Drew year three, it was crazy because – I mean, they went 0-18. Yeah. And again, it's like, I mean, I did not think that Malcolm Turner was going to fire him. He was the new AD, you know, he was new. And I didn't think he'd fire him after year three. And, you know, of course, it's a bad luck of Darius Garland, but that team had all other pros on it who are in the NBA right now. And so it was toxic that year. And I went to a lot of those games that year, and, man, they had issues. And Bryce Drew couldn't handle it. You know, he just didn't handle it well. And there's no excuse for that team to go 0-18. But this is, I mean, this is tacked onto that. Again, exactly. Like, it's Stackhouse, yes, of course. And it's year five and, you know, SEC Coach of the Year last year. They had a heck of a ball club by the end of the year. They really did. But, you know, again, that's still, like, in the scheme of 5 years, it's just not enough. And then now it bottoms out this year. So it's also – but I think it's also, like, building frustration overall for this program for Vanderbilt fans. And, you know, people talk about, well, this used to be the hottest ticket in town, all that stuff. And that's true. Now, also, that was before the Titans were here or maybe the early day, you know, Titans, Preds. I mean, like, it's a major league town now, so that was going to be different anyway. But still, that's a fantastic barn when it gets rocking and packed, and it should be like that more often, and it's just a dead zone right now.
Tennessee thumps Vanderbilt over the weekend. We'll take your thoughts on that game. Jerry Stackhouse, his tenure at Vanderbilt, all you want to talk about on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our number. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on Jerry Stackhouse and the Vanderbilt men's basketball program. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tomorrow as MTSU basketball takes on Jacksonville State on the road. Pregame 5:30, tip-off 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Mark. Mark, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. As a longtime Vandy fan, I would like to make some comments about Coach Stackhouse. Number one, I think we have to go by his record, which is unacceptable. But number two, there's so many other factors. His likability factor is extremely low. He doesn't smile. He doesn't have a great sense of humor. He draws a lot of attention to himself by the way he acts and the way he dresses. He has a narcissistic profile in the way that he stands with his arms crossed. He doesn't want input from his assistants. He blocks people from Twitter that say anything negative. So I just think the whole package of Jerry Stackhouse is a negative.
Thanks for
the call, Mark. Those are my comments.
Appreciate it. I mean, I don't know if okay. I'm going to get into the dressing part of it. I think he dresses very nicely. Yeah. So
he's one of the best dressed coaches. That I guess that's drawing attention to yourself. How dare you wear nice clothing, you son of a gun?
Now, we have talked about the Twitter stuff before.
Yeah. I mean, most of that stuff is just crap I don't care at all about. But the record, that's fair.
Yeah.
And the blocking on Twitter for sure. You know that, and I don't know if that's even like still going on. You know, he early on he went through an absolute tear of blocking.
It's like
people.
Titans wide receivers back in the day, just blocking people left and right.
Yeah, some DMs calling people like fake ass fan. It's like, nah, you don't do that. But that again, that's long ago. That stuff is before he actually had his third and fourth years. You see, oh wow, you can see it and. It's fourth. I mean, last year's team was good enough to be in the NCAA tournament, and they beat everybody good in this league. They beat Tennessee. Think about the fact that this team beat Tennessee, and I know Tennessee wasn't as good last year, but they're still really good.
Yeah.
And then the other night, we're watching this, you know, 70-30 game. You know,
yeah.
So he got past a lot of that stuff, and it looked like he was maybe turning the corner, but it's just not the case. And I do think that. Even though some of what Mark said there to me is irrelevant, I also hear people tell me about how they see him at the golf course. Oh, my God. Oh, clutch your pearls. No coach is allowed to have any free time. You better be grinding that film at
that's
all
what it
hours.
Is, though, but that's what it is. When somebody's losing, that's what
exactly.
It always is.
You're exactly right.
Like Saban golfs all the time, and when he was winning, he's like, oh, look at Coach. He's out there blowing off some steam.
That's
playing
right.
Playing some golf. Good for him.
My coach has life balance,
that's
and
right.
I like that because he wins. Yeah, it's exactly. If you're losing, whatever your personality traits are bad. And but the thing with college sports is, and I think – it's a little different because, you can, like, make up for things with the portal And if you get some people who say, hey, just like Vanderbilt football this year, they got a big infusion of NIL money. And we'll see how that works out next year. But they did some serious work to help the roster. But in college athletics, once you get to the point where your momentum, there's so much negativity and the fans are down and they're not only they're angry, but they're not showing up. It's just so hard to come back from that. It's like, think about Tennessee football in recent years. You know, once you just knew Butch was toast. Like, in that 2017 year,
it's just over.
Like, no one believes him anymore, and he's miserable, and everybody else is miserable, and recruits are falling off. And it's college sports, it's just how it goes, and that's where they are with Stackhouse. I mean, if you want to be realistic about it, that's where it is with Stackhouse right now. It's how it got with Pruitt. With Pruitt, Tennessee was lucky enough to be, hey, we got a big investigation.
An NCAA investigation. Great.
You know, we really believe in NCAA enforcement. You know, we're really big fans. We believe that they should be enforcing the rules strictly. I invite you to our campus. Check it out. See what's going on.
Yes.
But, you know,
we will be exemplary in our cooperation.
Yeah, we are going to cooperate like MFers on this. Let me promise you that. Now, but yeah, you get to a point in college athletics as a coaching regime, and because recruiting is a part of this job, you know, pro sports, it's just not like that. Pro sports, very different. Now, there's some similarities. You know, you lose the room or whatever. You know, fans are sick of you. You know, your relationship stuff like Vrabel and Amy Adams Strunk or whatever. But it's once you lose recruiting punch because of all the negativity, you've got to move on. Now, that's the thing is, I mean, Stackhouse just hasn't recruited well, you know? He just hasn't recruited well enough. So, you know, they could try to go out in the portal, keep Stackhouse going the portal and, you know, think that they're going to have some magical fix, but it's just not a smart thing to do.
I got a texter that says, Jerry Stackhouse has been overrated his whole career. Even Jordan couldn't play with him in Washington because of his attitude. If he doesn't want to do the work to bring in elite players and deal with the NIL money, then move on to someone who can. This is from an unnamed texter.
Wow. Going back to the playing days. Yeah. Well, first of all, do the work to bring in elite players, deal with the NIL money. Look, Tyron Lawrence was leaving, and Tyron Lawrence is still here.
Yeah.
So Jerry Stackhouse understands the importance of NIL, and they have worked to bolster that. Let's not pretend like that's not any kind of factor. Now, he talks about, yes, other teams have more money or whatever, this and there, but it's just really, to me, I just have to think it's evaluating is a problem because there's just way too many guys he's brought in with his high school classes who haven't been good. If Jordan Wright was in his first class, and that does go to his credit because he was a late add to that class, and that was a very good evaluation. He right now is playing really well for LSU. But, you know, Pippen and Dessou, those guys were recruited by Bryce Drew. I mean, Bryce Drew was a much better high school recruiter with the same conditions than Stackhouse is.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in David. David, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. It's painful to go to the games. It is. I'm a Vanderbilt supporter, love to go to all the sports, but I'm not concerned about his dress or his stature or his, I know he knows X's and O's. He does. He's a lot more than any of us. I think Joe's right. I think it's about recruiting and evaluating talent. If you go to the games, you'll experience that. You'll experience that there's a new starting lineup, lots. There's people that sit on the bench that a whole game, and then the next game they're playing many minutes. It's just like up and down, and so it is frustrating. I everyone throws at you. They say, "Well, he won Coach of the Year, and he did this," and you know that was exciting. I enjoyed that. I did, but then in the same sense, when you look at the body of work, and I'm not sure if he knows. He knows basketball. I'm not sure if he knows the college game. I'm not sure if he knows the importance of the three-point shot. There's so many things. But I think the frustration is just watching the team and watching poor Ezra out there on his own and watching all the substitutions that are just, is there a plan?
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thanks for the call, David. Appreciate it. I mean, look, there's no question. And now some of the lineup stuff, I think when you're searching like mad for an answer, you start messing around with lineups, and then you reach a point with that, or, well, you're doing more harm than good when you start doing that. But when you see that, typically speaking, from coaches, it's because there is no answer. There's no answer currently on the roster, and you're trying like mad to find one.
Yeah, for sure. So Collin Smith, losing him is a big loss, and so if they could go back, because Miles Studi would be helping this team, and he's helping South Carolina instead. Yep. But you know, so that's one that's not on him. And Mannion is terrific, you know, and Tyron Lawrence, I think, is in a little bit of a disappointing season, but there's just not enough other than that. It's, you know, it's a bunch of, like, Van Allen Lubin has some moments, but it's just, they're just not a, they're not a, they're a subpar SEC team, and that's what we're seeing play out. And when it comes down to it, you know, you have to have more possibilities and more answers available to you because of what you've done with your roster year after year at this point. Like, you're talking about, well, we're still behind, you know, we're not there yet and things like that. It's like, well, I mean, it's year five.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, there's got to be some older guys on this team, and Tyron Lawrence is one of them, but there's got to be more than that who have grown with the program, who now in year five are able to give you more answers. Again, I'll throw up Tennessee, and I understand they got some octogenarians on their roster, but you know, but that's what you need to have in year five, and he doesn't have it.
Just get John Jenkins back in there. You want to still play? You play with Santiago Vescovi, right? Keep going. You've been there since 2005, haven't you?
Something like that.
615-737-1025, our number. More of your thoughts on Jerry Stackhouse and the Vanderbilt men's basketball program. Also got a couple Titans questions I want to throw Joe's way as well. Coming up next, we'll do all that. Make sure you tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on Dayton at Hawkins Field. Pre-game beginning at 4:15, first pitch at 4:30. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Tune in to 102.5 The Game tomorrow as Vanderbilt men's basketball takes on Georgia at home. Pre-game at 7 o'clock, tip-off 7:30. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Taking your thoughts on Vanderbilt men's basketball, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Marin from Omaha. Marin, good morning. How are you? Thanks for calling in.
Long time no talk, guys.
What's going on, Marin?
Well, Robbie brought up a point about John, and I'm not going to toot his horn because I graduated high school with him, but that era of Vanderbilt basketball, Memorial was full for every single game. Yep. Like, I remember going to almost every home game because it really was magical. And Stack has never been able to recapture that. And it's really disappointing. I mean, I remember people waited after games for the players to come out of the locker room to get autographs and take pictures. Like, they were just so – the fans were – and the players and the program, they were intertwined as one. And it's never been the same.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Mary. Appreciate it. Good hearing from you.
I mean, certainly, like, it's had stretches of being a hot ticket, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, people talk about the old days, and it's like there is some element of, like, this is the highest level of sports you're going to get in this town.
Yeah.
And it's different now, obviously. But the funny thing about that
is – that stretch that she brought up, there was – I mean, they were really good and fun to watch, and the barn was full every night.
But also, it didn't take long, right, like, for people to complain about Stallings and – you're talking about 15. I mean, that 15-16 team was very disappointing.
Yep.
And then he's out. So, I mean, but certainly they haven't gotten close to that. I've seen that place. I mean, shoot, Bryce Drew's first year. I've talked about this before, but they had late season. They're making a run to get a bid. They go win in Knoxville, which was, you know, Grant Williams and those guys, younger. Freshman Grant Williams, but still. Schofield, Grant Williams, all those guys, Jordan Bone. And they regular season finale home against Florida, and it was packed, and it was rocking, and it was a very good Florida team, and they beat them, and they beat them again. I think in the SEC tournament they got a bid, but that was like fantastic. And there's been some moments here and there with that building where you see what the potential is. It's just, you know, few and far between, obviously.
Yep. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, so I've been – do you remember back in the day when Mountain Dew did the – I don't know. They would have the college basketball teams underneath. And if your team crushed it, you would have a chance to win like $1 million or whatever. Yeah. I forget exactly what it was. That was back when life was fun, by the way. Mountain Dew and Pepsi needs to heed my words with that. And give me at least a chance to win a 20-ounce. Like, that's – I don't know. I had fun. That was my childhood, is unscrewing a cap and hoping I did something good. Anyway, dude, so that's how long I've loved Vandy basketball. And I've known you guys for, I don't know, years, and I never talk about them because they suck. And I think people should appreciate how good Kevin Stallings was, because they have not been the same. I mean, Bryce Drew was a joke. Jerry Stackhouse, while I know he was part of my childhood, is a joke as a coach for Vandy. So, like, I don't know, man. Like, Memorial Magic used to be a thing. I can't even stand to go to a game. People offer me tickets all the time, and I'm like, I'm not going down there. I'm not going to pay to go see them and pay to park and just make it a big thing for a team that can't compete ever. Like, in college, when I was in college, it was like, I think, 05 to 09. How studly were they, man? Them in Tennessee, it was not only a state rivalry, it was like a nationwide rivalry. It was a really good one, too. So it's sad to see what it's fallen to, but it makes me, like, really appreciate the Kevin Stallings era.
Yep, thanks for the call, Adam. Appreciate it. I mean, he brings up that time. I remember it was the game after Tennessee went to Memphis and took down Memphis and was the number one team in the country, and they had to go into Vanderbilt.
And they got
smoked,
right?
By Shane Foster, yeah. And the Doors. That place was nuts.
So that's like 08.
Yeah.
07, 08 season.
08, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Now, he brought, you know, bringing that up, brings me back to the Pepsi Challenge. So if anybody out there remembers the Pepsi Challenge, because there was like one A, you had to spell out Pepsi Challenge, there was like one A in the whole country. Like, we had Pepsi Challenge for a long time, and I hate Pepsi.
Hey.
Anyway.
I do. It was cool back in the day to unscrew the cap and say, who, did I win another Coke? Did I win $5? What did I win?
Yeah, and that was back in the day of, like, these were just glass bottles. Yeah. Was all you could have.
Yeah.
You had to, like, yeah, take the off. It was like a little aluminum
back in my day.
Cap. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Chris in Portland. Chris, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Man, there was a song back in the day called Somebody Done Me Wrong kind of song. That's how I feel about this Vandy basketball thing, because the last 10 years have been just basically absolutely miserable as a Vandy fan. Like, I used to cherish and enjoy spending my days going out to Memorial Gym. I haven't been to a Vandy basketball game, football game in like the last 5 years. There's been so much sucking going on over there, and that they're worried about their diversity and you know, Stackhouse is, you know, out playing golf and doing this, that. We need to find a coach who can come back and do some good recruiting and bring Vanderbilt basketball back, because it's not happening under this current regime. Thanks, guys.
Yep, thanks for the call, Chris. Appreciate it. I mean, there's the golf again.
Yeah, and diversity. Yeah. Worried about diversity. Okay.
So let's say they get through this and do what we all think they're going to do, and they fire Jerry Stackhouse. How attractive is this job around the nation, and can they find a coach that can do what we're talking about and bring them back to the days where they are – competing for a spot in the NCAA tournament every other year? Like, nobody is going to expect Vanderbilt to turn into some SEC powerhouse. But is the job attractive enough, in your opinion, Joe, in today's landscape of college sports, where they can find a coach that can do that and can get them back to that level?
Absolutely. They're building a basketball building that's actually going to be awesome. Like, and they have had nothing of the sort. They've had nothing like that. And I understand now, we've sort of de-emphasized facilities as a huge factor, but there's still a factor. Like, you got, like, it can't be embarrassing when you bring recruits right on campus for visits, and it's actually going to be really cool. Also, they are doing well in NIL. Like, they've got some people, not just John Ingram, giving them money, to the point that Clark Lee took advantage in the portal this offseason, and I think that they can be competitive. I've never bought the idea that Vanderbilt doesn't have the resources to do whatever. It's just a matter of whether they want to do it. And they have the right people out there, you know, getting the resources. And they've been able to do that at a high level under Candace Lee. So I think that it's an attractive job. Absolutely. This should not be the norm. This is not. I think that I'll give Bryce Drew and Jerry Stackhouse a little bit of an excuse, and maybe Stallings at the end, but I do think that the years of neglect finally caught up with both basketball programs. So I guess I'm giving Stephanie White a pass too. Melanie Balcom at the end of her 10 years started to go downhill. I do think that some of it is like it's bad, and it's all it's, how many times did we hear people talk about like how embarrassed the facilities were and all this stuff? Like at some point you can't neglect something for decades and then not eventually pay the price. But they have actually fixed it now. They're in the process of fixing a lot of that stuff now, and I think there's a lot of reasons to look at Vanderbilt as an attractive job. I really do. And so it's just, you should be able to get a coach in here who should be able to get to the NCAA tournament in a 5-year span a couple times. That's to me. And then, you know, eventually you want to get to the point where it's more the expectation than not that you go every year. Like you should go more than you don't go. But for now, just get back to the freaking tournament once.
Take that first step to get back in there. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Chris from Atlanta. Chris, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, morning, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I kind of agree with Joe. I think it really starts with Candace Lee. What are your expectations for Vanderbilt? Because if you guys remember, 12 years ago, this was a team that actually won the SEC championship over a loaded Kentucky Wildcats men's basketball team. So the expectation should be there for success to get not only win the SEC, but to go to the NCAA tournament. And they just haven't had that since Kevin Stallings was there. I mean, even as a Tennessee fan, I love the fact that we destroyed Vanderbilt on Saturday. But there was a time when Tennessee fans, we would be worried about playing Vanderbilt, either in Memorial or at Thompson Bowling. So the expectation should be there. There are 6 ranked teams in the SEC right now. There should be no wonder why Vanderbilt cannot be one of them. So that's all I got to say.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Chris. Appreciate it. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And then here we go. Let's go.
Is the kid with the train.
Joe, man, where you been drinking your coffee at lately?
So,
one of the best dressed coaches. I guess that's drawing attention to yourself. How dare you wear nice clothing? It's a beautiful
day. It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day. Been gone for a few days, so we've not had a rant lately.
You never know what Nick Kieser will cook up. Can't give me some Captain Tennille actually singing their freaking song, but I like that one. That was nice.
That was good.
Throw in one of today's gems. Very nice. Well, we can get back into Stackhouse here in a minute. A lot of people are reacting to it. Jimmy Wyatt thinks he's coming on to talk Titans, but actually I'm just asking about Stackhouse. At the top of the hour.
Prepare yourself, Jim.
But I do want to tell you a little bit about my trip to Las Vegas. So I don't know if anybody can relate to this, but I am a big, big believer. And this is in the rare times that I, you know, like buy a ticket to a sporting event, but certainly concerts, we're concert people. I'm a big believer in you wait till the day of, you wait until right before the show, and you're going to get a sweet, sweet price. I mean, we had some like upper deck Dave Matthews tickets at Bridgestone last summer, and we took it down, you know, maybe about 15 minutes before the show. It's like, oh, here's some seats right next to the stage where you can see the band, and they're like for nothing. Like, there you go. Yep. This is it. Okay. So we're on the flight to Thursday to Las Vegas for U2. I haven't bought any tickets. This is Katie's Christmas present. Yeah, which I haven't. I mean, you know, obviously, like the flight and hotel,
yeah,
were all points bought, and then it's like, yeah, I mean, we're going to – and, of course, she's like, so do you have the tickets? Well, no, you know what we do. This is what we do. So we're on the flight. We're talking with some guy, and he's telling us about, oh, yeah, you know, he's spent, like, you know, like a lot of money. Yeah. Like, we got our tickets, and I was just like, sucker. I told Kay, like, God, poor son of a gun.
What an idiot. You,
we are going to be in sweet. But I learned a little lesson on this trip that, you know, supply and demand, I mean, it's Econ 201. If there's more demand than supply, it's not going to work out that way for you, buddy. And so we're looking constantly, and they're going up the day of the show. I'm like, wait, no, this is not supposed to be happening. And they keep going up. And now it's like 3 hours before the show, and it's like, what are you doing? I'm like, just hold on. Hold. It's you know, it's like, just hold on. I know it's going to break. It's going to break. 2 hours before, they're still up. 1 hour before, oh, they're up even more. I will not give any numbers. I do not want to embarrass, well, myself, mainly. Finally, we bit the bullet, and as we're walking in line, so now we're talking half hour before the show.
Yeah.
We're walking with this whole crowd. So, like, to get to the Sphere, you have to be in, like, the Venetian, and you have to, like, walk through this whole walk. Like, you can't even get to it. Like, it's an insane structure. Like, I would advise anybody to go check it out for something because it's wild. But we're walking, and it's like, okay, well, we just have to – I'm sorry. I have failed miserably. I am a loser. I am so sorry. So we went on one of the ticket broker sites and bit the bullet and paid the money. And then the tickets didn't show up.
Oh, God.
And so now it's 15 minutes. We got to the front of the line where they do the little thing where they scan the tickets, and we're just standing there. Like, they're not showing up. They're still not showing up. Okay, you get the email. You know, you have to verify. It's like, you know, pay, verify, and then here are your tickets.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever done, like, the
oh, yeah.
ticket broker. Okay. I mean, usually it's pretty instantaneous. Sitting there 15 minutes sweating it out. Oh, my God. Like, the show's about to start, and now it's 5 minutes before it, and we're like, oh, we have to call the 800 number.
Yeah.
I'm like, we are so screwed. We're calling the freaking 800 number. Now, to the credit of this ticket broker, they actually answered pretty quickly. And this guy's like, okay, yep, you're all set. It all looks good in there, and those should be showing up any minute. Okay? So it's 8 o'clock show. 5 minutes to 8, and like every minute we keep checking, refresh the email, refresh. All these people are like, you guys okay? You got everything okay? Like, yeah, we're okay.
We're
just
fine.
Get your ass in there. Don't talk to me. Finally, it's 8, and you know, bands don't start right on time, but you know, the U2, they're a little older. As you get to the older bands, they're a little closer to actual show time than you might think. Call the 800 number again.
Yeah.
Woman's on there. I'm like, well, then take the sale off because it's the showtime and I do not have my tickets. So, and then she's like, well, you know, it should be in there in a minute. I'm like, wait a minute. We just talked to a guy who said they're going to be in there in 5 minutes, and now it's 15 minutes later and they're not in there. He's like, well, the seller has to put them in there. Do you not have any control over this? Can the seller is going to take this much money from us and not give us our tickets?
Yeah.
And so she said, look, we're in contact with them. It should be very soon. And then about 90 seconds later, they showed up. And the show didn't start until 20 minutes after the hour, so we were okay.
Yeah, Joe, I did the exact same thing with Kristen on our trip to St. Louis, except I went in the media seat, and she's like, you bought tickets for the wrong day, you idiot. So I did something completely bad, too, over the weekend. So, Joe, Ticketmaster sucks. I already know probably that's what was used. Maybe not.
No, but hey, if they want to catch a stray from you, I guess they
go right ahead.
They took forever.
So wait a minute.
It was awful.
Okay.
You bought tickets for the wrong day?
yeah,
you're blaming it on Ticketmaster?
What? So did you buy tickets for obviously St. Louis against a different opponent?
No. Toronto?
No.
St. Louis?
It was still the Predators.
What's the date of that game?
I got sent a link from Kristen for the game, and she sent me the wrong date, and I didn't check the date. It's still my fault. So she's going to go to the game in April here, too.
Well, that's great. Way to go.
All right.
That's good stuff.
So we've had a lot of mishaps, but I will say it was really worth it. It was incredible, and I feel so bad for all these Nashville Predators people who didn't get to go. And I think Barry Trotz, I think you need to send the Admirals to Vegas. You need to, you took this joy away from so many humans. You need to give this joy, pay it forward to another group of people.
I think you should have done that originally. Just go ahead and send the Admirals in their, right, in their place already.
Oh, yeah.
These guys down here doing the right things, they get to go. You guys don't.
That's a great idea. Again, I checked the Admiral schedule last night. They are free on March 2nd. That is the last day of U2 at Sphere, which I would love to be at that show. It's going to be a hell of a show, I bet. Their last one there. Send the Admirals.
I don't know how you
people. And get the tickets in advance.
I don't know how you operate. There's no way in the world, the way that I'm made up, that I could wait until an hour before the show.
But
to
it
buy
usually
something.
gets so much cheaper.
If I would get on the plane if I didn't have them. That's how I'm wired.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it.
I hear you, but like the prices can go so low. But what happened in this crowd that night, Bono's like, and who's here from Ireland? And like the whole crowd is like, yeah. I'm like, oh, so this is what people from, and like we walk around the stadium, everybody there didn't speak English or spoke in very thick Irish accents.
Big
like,
Ireland
so the
trip.
entire world is here tonight for this, and we got screwed. But it was worth it.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, this has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans. I'm sure we'll get his thoughts on Jerry Stackhouse, too.
He also saw U2 at Sphere for free, I heard.
Oh, boy.
What a...
It's going to be a really informative segment with Jim Wyatt coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.